I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, third hour. One more hour of us. You got to tolerate us here today. Tiki and Tierney live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. YouTube, 855-212-4227, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. You know, listen, baseball's a crazy sport, and I knew that I can create something if I just did a little digging, and I was doing a little digging during the break there.
On
the slow starts, plural, of aces, or perceived aces. Well, no, not perceived, eight of aces.
Yeah.
Compared to...
Yeah, you don't get the title if you haven't earned it.
Exactly. Compared to an incredible start by a relative no-name. And how about this? So, Jacob deGrom has 3 wins so far.
Mm-hmm.
Has been rocked around a lot. Last year's Cy Young winner, sub-2 ERA. Maybe even better than Dwight Gooden's season when Doc came on the scene in the early 80s. In terms of New York baseball, yeah, that I've ever seen.
I hear you.
It was incredible.
And crazy enough, he only had 10 wins.
Ah, I hear you.
It was nuts.
He couldn't score any runs from his criminal. So DeGrom has 3 wins.
Uh-huh.
Snell has 3 wins, the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. A little bit banged up, but he's got 3 wins. He's missed a couple of the starts. Max Scherzer, who's going to Cooperstown, Hall of Famer, he's got 2 wins. And Chris Sale just recently picked up his first win. And, you know, he's on a Hall of Fame path as well, all the strikeouts, et cetera. That's 9 total wins for DeGrom, Snell, Scherzer, and Sale. Domingo Germán of the Yankees, who was a throw-in in a trade, is going for win number 9 tonight.
Get out of here.
It's baseball. It is the unpredictable nature of baseball, which keeps it loose.
Yes.
And makes it very unpredictable, very fun.
Yeah, you're right. Cody Bellinger, by the way, the one story in baseball that's spectacular right now.
You mentioned this during the break.
405 he's hitting
crazy
right now.
Yep.
He's got 66 hits, I believe, which is 15 more than Christian Yelich, who a lot of people are positioning as the MVP right now. But really, mm-hmm, it's Cody Bellinger, who's only 1 home run behind, I believe. I think 19 or 2 home runs, 19-17. He's got 44 RBIs. He's had a ridiculous start to the season. But the big one that you notice, 405.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's nuts.
Man.
His OPS is like 1.2, 1.27 or something like that. He's unbelievable. There's a reason that the Dodgers right now are first or second team, the 31 wins in the majors right now. I think they were the second. I think the Houston Astros were first.
Here's his projected stats if they were to, we prorate this the rest of the way. Cody Bellinger. Then we'll get to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He's projected to score 142 runs, which
wow
is basically Ricky Henderson.
Wow.
Right? 223 hits, which is basically Wade Boggs or Tony Gwynn. 34 doubles. And that's not, you know, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
3 triples, 57 bombs, 150 RBIs, 24 stolen bases, too, and an OPS of almost 1.300. He is absolutely raking. Really, I don't know how anybody hits 200 in major leagues. It's
yeah
so hard. 405?
That's
almost Memorial Day? Man, he's incredible.
Samter's on his semantic train right now.
What's his semantics? What does he say?
You can't say RBIs. You can't put a plural on an acronym like that. It's RBI.
Mm-hmm. So you have...
Runs batted in, not one batted ins.
You have 450 RBIs.
This has come up before.
You have 450 RBI.
RBI.
Runs batted in. It would be RSBI or RBI.
No.
It's not RBIs.
It's the runs.
No.
When you say runs, the runs is pluralizing it for you.
You know what an RBI is. A run batted in.
Yes.
Yes. A singular run batted in. If there's multiple of those now entity, think of it in a bracket if you're doing math, mm-hmm, now entity, you put an S on the
end. You can do both ways.
Exactly.
You actually can do both ways.
Exactly.
You can do both ways.
You can, but you'd be wrong.
I hate you.
I've actually had that debate before,
I hate you,
too, because there is something to it.
I think you're right.
All
still
right, Pat Riley. Whoa. You want to make the Lakers really interesting? Pat Riley. We know Pat's had a long history with the Lakers here. Obviously, a bunch of championships. Five championships as a head coach. You know, up and down. Just brilliant basketball. Showtime. Incredible legacy there. And in an interview with ESPN's Jackie McMullen on Monday, Riley admitted that the thought of returning to the Lakers has crossed his mind. By the way, who brought this up on the show 2 months ago? I did. Quote, from a sentimental standpoint.
I think it was actually D-Cell.
No, it was 100%. It was 100% me.
I'm just kidding.
From a sentimental standpoint, he thought of it, Pat said. But he said they never reached out to him after Magic resigned. Nobody officially contacted me. So unofficially, they may have made an inquiry. Okay. Hmm.
I wonder why you wouldn't have reached out to him before.
I don't know if he's got a great relationship with LeBron James. When LeBron left Miami, it wasn't exactly
okay, but
love you, LeBron.
I'm talking about, my question was before that, before LeBron was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you probably predicated who you were hiring on hoping to get LeBron. So you don't want to sabotage LeBron coming before LeBron even comes. So if you had hired Pat Riley because of the perceived rift in his relationship with mm-hmm. LeBron, you might have influenced LeBron's decision before he left Cleveland.
Maybe. I mean, I think he was going there. I think we all think he was going there anyway. So. But why even mess around with something that could possibly be a stumbling block?
Which you know, that regardless of that,
mm-hmm.
Pat Riley has a pretty good relationship with the Lakers, I would think. And if he was thinking about this,
mm-hmm.
and because we know where the Heat are, they're not horrible, but they're not
competing. They're going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. They're not competing for a championship. They're in rebuild, even though they're not bad, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're
a step in front of the Pistons,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
really not where you want to be.
And Pat Riley looking to...
Or technically step behind, if he actually... But you know what I mean.
Probably, if he was going to move, his last career move would want to go somewhere where there's familiarity with him.
Full circle?
Full circle, mm-hmm. back to the Lakers.
Well, that's what Phil Jackson did, went back to the Knicks where it started.
Yes.
Now, it bombed.
Yeah, of course.
But Phil was an executive. Pat's been an executive.
I agreed.
He promoted Spoelstra. He's done a lot of good things.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Totally.
And why no one has reached out now? Maybe because they're committed to going with Rob Pelinka as their GM / overseer of all decision making,
mm-hmm.
and let it play, like Michael Thompson told us, let it play out, give him some time, he can figure it out, type of thing. But if you really want the Lakers to get back to prominence, you got to get someone in there who knows what they're doing. Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson don't necessarily know what they're doing, or didn't know what they were doing. Pat Riley knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nobody officially contacted me. That's the quote. I've got about 20 friends wishing I would come back.
Mm.
But nobody's asked here.
What if those are 20 friends in the L.A. area or 20 friends in the L.A. Lakers family?
That's a good question.
Interesting distinction, though.
Yes, and I would like to know the distinction. Maybe we'll go mixed bag. Maybe 10 each.
Yeah.
And then he continues to say, but this, it's talking about how the Lakers situation's gone sideways. This kind of bleep goes on in organizations every day. The organization gets too big. There are too many people who've been around for a long time. And they start voicing their opinions about things, and that's when the culture starts to crack.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Irvin's honesty will do something to get the Lakers thinking.
Yeah.
End quote. Here's a thought as to why Jeannie Buss has never brought in Pat Riley, or even really thought about doing it yet.
And it probably wasn't LeBron, because LeBron wasn't mad at Pat Riley. Pat Riley was mad at LeBron for leaving the Heat and going
Correct.
Back to Cleveland, but he changed his tune in a couple of years saying LeBron had to go back.
That's true. That's correct. I think that I can't prove this, and I might be wildly off base. You know, maybe Jeannie just loves being Jeannie Buss. And if Pat Riley's there, he's taking up all the oxygen in the room. Now you could say, well, so does Magic,
yeah.
but not from a building of a team point of view. Pat Riley's not coming in for 2 or 3 days a week. Pat Riley's coming in to fix this franchise.
Yeah, but shouldn't she want that?
You would, unless ego gets in the way. And again, I don't know that that's the case. I'm just throwing out possible theories as to why a team that once employed Pat Riley and had overwhelming success with him at the helm, why you wouldn't pick up the phone or at least have a cursory conversation.
Yeah.
Pat, where you at? What do you think?
You should. Look,
what do you have?
Look, Jeannie, I mean, she was sub-spotlight. She was in the spotlight because she's a gorgeous woman and she's been a fantastic piece of the Lakers over the entirety of the organization. But being able to share the spotlight, not being able to share the spotlight, I should say, doesn't seem like the issue that would plague her. It's more making the right decision seems to be the issue that's plaguing her. Because I'd like to hear her talk about this at some point. She won't do it while it's happening.
She'll do it on a podcast at some point. She'll hop on
with
somebody.
Yeah, or write a book or whatever it may be. But I wonder what was behind the decision to bring in Rob Pelinka. I really do. Because I know that, you know, when we just asked Michael Thompson about this, he said, look, he knows the business. He's been an agent. He knows the ins and outs of the contracts. But from the sounds of it, there's not a lot of other agents that like him. You know, it just feels weird.
That's
right?
Probably because he was pretty good at his job as an agent.
True.
I wouldn't use that as a deterrent.
True, but it just seems odd. Why not get somebody who knows how to do this?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe because they were looking to the northern part of the state, and they're like, this is a template that we can recreate. And I mentioned Bob Myers before.
Yeah.
Which when Bob Myers went in as the GM, as a former agent for the Warriors, you know, it was viewed as, well, this is the Warriors. This is probably won't.
And again, we also talked about this, BT. It was also the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean
they could take a chance.
Yeah. This is Warriors pre, we've been to 5 straight championships, and we have one of the best rosters in the NBA over the last decade, maybe even more. Right? This is that team now. But 5 or 6 or 8 years ago when they, I think he's been there that long, maybe even longer that he's been there, Bob Myers, the Warriors were, you know, a laughing stock. They weren't the team that they are now.
Nope.
The Lakers will never be that.
The Warriors, people forget. Mike, can you quickly pull up, because I don't have it in front of me, the, like, just, you know, just
250,000 a year or so for the top bowlers, I think.
The bowlers. the quickly, just the, like, the Warriors year-by-year record, because then it will have the coaches as well. Like, it's easy to forget. Like, they lured Mike Montgomery, you know, from the college ranks. Like, people forget all the different darts they were throwing at the walls trying to make it work. And I remember they had this kid, Todd Fuller. I remember him from the ACC at NC State. Big, big, strong white kid. I think he was like the 7th overall pick, and they just kept bombing and whiffing on draft picks. He was terrible. Like, they were bad for a long time. They had an extended malaise. Just run through, go from P.J. Carlissimo.
P.J.
I'll even go a little bit before that, because Don Nelson is the guy that really look at as the Warriors' longtime guy.
No doubt.
They had Rick Edelman for 2 years.
Okay, good coach, by the way. Good coach.
66 just wins in 2 seasons.
Yeah, just not there.
Yeah.
P.J. Carlissimo, 19 wins, 21 wins, and 6 wins
good
before
coach.
He got fired.
Just not there.
Oh, you got fired.
Well, 6-21, but 6-21, so it wasn't like he was like 6-7 or something. Yeah. So that's what? That's 46 wins in 2-plus years?
That's bad.
Yeah. Dave Cowens for 2 years, 17 wins, 8 wins.
The former Celtic great. I honestly forgot about that one.
Our good buddy Eric Musselman had 75 wins in 2 years before he got let go.
Retire his name. Put him up there with Mullen and the rest of the crew up there.
That's achieving, man.
I mean, 38 and 37, I don't know if that's achieving.
Well, for them. Have you listened to what you just read?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. Mike Montgomery had his 2 years, and he was really successful up at – he was at Cal before that, correct?
He was at Stanford.
He knows the area.
He had a bunch of pros. He had two shooters too. I want to say Casey Jacobson, Mark Madsen. Yeah, they put out some. Stanford was pretty good at that point. And then where did they go after Montgomery? What happened?
They went back to Don Nelson.
Back to Don. Yep.
And he finally got them back over 500. That's 42 and 40.
That's when they had those ugly uniforms with like the weird warrior mime. And like the lightning bolt, like the Baron Davis,
I didn't like those
uniforms at all. Those are horrendous.
Don Nelson was there for a few years. Case Smart, who's Keith Smart?
Keith Smart.
I don't even remember Keith Smart
Indiana.
For 1 year.
Keith Smart, Indiana played. He hit the jump shot in '87.
Yeah, he was on the undefeated team with Isaiah.
No, Isaiah was way before that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. My '80s memory is fading very fast.
That's why we're on this side of the mic.
That's because you were three.
And you say we. Tiki had no idea.
He had no idea.
No clue.
None.
Mark Jackson has 3 years that he rejuvenated them. 23 wins his first year, 47 wins, then 51
now,
wins.
Now, who was this?
Mark Jackson.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
And then
course.
Right into Kerr.
Yeah.
I mean, but they jumped from 51 wins with Mark
to
67 wins, then 73, then 67.
But I got to tell you, Mike, I know we got a break here. I actually think this sounds ridiculous what I'm about to say, but in the context of what Mike just read, all those coaches, all those failed draft picks, all those sloppy free agent signings.
And Bob Myers came in when during that
Bob
process.
Myers came when I was in San Francisco. I moved there in 2011. I remember having him in studio.
So 2011. Who was the coach then? Who was it? Who was
Mark Jackson was the coach when I moved out there.
So he hired Mark Jackson then.
Did they come in simultaneously, or did Bob?
Bob probably came a year.
Mark was already there when I got there, so I think Mark was there in 2010. I think I missed Mark's first season, but my point is that you can make the case that the jump under Mark Jackson was almost more impressive than the jump from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr based on the wasteland encompassing 20 years nearly.
That's a good point.
That was before Mark Jackson.
Good point.
Because that was a mess.
Because at that point, they were sustainable. They weren't going to win 57 games?
Mark won 51. 51. And then 67.
They weren't going to win 51. That next year, they weren't going to go win 25 games.
Exactly. Right? Mark was going to win at least 51, probably 58 or so. Yeah, you forget. So, listen, that's hope for all the bad teams. All the teams who are down now, eventually you get it right. There you go. All right, coming up next here, we'll find out if some of these teams got it right. Now, you know, based on the dynamic with Vogel, who's a good coach, but the whole Jason Kidd situation, a lot of people, including us, don't love that. So, with that in mind, who made the best NBA hires and who made the worst ones? Still one job is open, but let's run through this because now, you know, Beilein spoke today. We got to wait. We got a little room to tackle the coaches and maybe on some situations we don't really hit too often. We'll do that coming up on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, kicking it back a little bit. Okay, this works. If you want to come and take a ride with me.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855. It's like prom music. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We'll give you a little preview on the game tonight. Let's get into this here. This is a unique way of looking at what the teams that have hired new coaches, one team still yet to do that. That's the Grizzlies here. Bickerstaff is out. We know who they're talking to. We'll give you those names in a little bit here. But you look at in terms of Black Monday in the NFL, I mean, that is one of the most wildly popular in terms of social media hits, in terms of tweets and calls and energy. That is, nothing compares to that.
Yeah, you're right.
The NBA hirings, you know, unless it's a big time, now they're calling me. It's FaceTime. I got to wish him good luck. I have to. I don't care. He's got a game. Got to do this fast. Hey, I'm on the air. Put him on. All right,
you're
buddy.
Right. So the Cleveland Cavaliers. So here are the teams that have replaced their coaches. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the LA Lakers, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, the Memphis Grizzlies are the one team, as we were just alluding to, that have not hired their replacement yet. Mm. But when you look at the ones that have, It's a debate who did the best job or who has done the best job or who potentially will have done the best job going forward. I think the Cavaliers, Larry Drew was temporary. It was always going to be temporary. Mm-hmm. I like Larry's attitude when he took over the job.
Yep.
But I didn't have the expectation that he was going to all of a sudden be, you know, the perfect fit going forward. So that one's an easy one. John Beilein, with his reputation from college. Now there is some doubts, a different game.
Yep.
But just the culture building that he'll do with a young team, that one makes a ton of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was surprising when it happened, as we talked about last
week. That was a very surprising one. That really came out of nowhere. By the way, I had to take that because the weather's been so bad. Like, I can't make Tuesday night practices.
Mm-hmm.
So Jen takes them.
Yeah.
And I'm at every game. I'm a coach. And because of the stupid rain, they have to play some games on Tuesday. A little tradition. I got to make sure the little guy's ready. He's 4 years old. Got to make sure he's ready to play ball and get a couple of hits. That's all.
It's all good.
Usually wouldn't do that, but I had to. And I called them to the break, and they couldn't pick up, so I had to wish him well. All right. Beilein, I like the direction of the Cavs in terms of now it's not a mixed message. Now this is about growth. This is about player development. And he seemed not that Larry Drew couldn't do that, but John Beilein seems to be excellent everywhere he's gone. I mean, I saw a stat. I didn't mention this on the air. John Beilein has coached high school, junior college, Division I, II, III.
Yep.
And now the NBA. Nobody's done that.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, he's never been an assistant.
I didn't realize that.
He's always been the head coach, which is unbelievable.
He's a man of power.
When you think about that.
He makes things happen.
So, but that,
well, that's pretty rare.
It's kind of encouraging
that
he's always, you know, just, it's weird. I don't want to disparage him at all. And this is not meant to be a disparagement. He doesn't look like that, right?
Like an authoritative,
take charge,
lead guy.
I'm the man. I'm walking into the room like, I'm the man.
Nope, I would never get that.
Clearly, he is. Right?
Yeah, it's a fair observation.
Right? And so much of judgments that we make on people is how they look, how they carry themselves, the shirt, the clothes that they wear, all the nonsense. He's the proof that none of that matters. Mm-hmm. It's nonsense. It's superficial, right? The aesthetics are stupid. It's what you actually do, how you teach and how you command and how those guys respect you. And John Beilein is far and above. When I look at this list, the most promising thought, maybe Monty Williams, but Monty Williams hadn't been. He's only been a head coach one other time, right?
Yep.
And it was kind of short lived.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at this list, and I'm like, man, who has the best chance to be successful? It's John Beilein, simply because of what he's done in his previous iterations as a head coach.
Fair. I mean, listen, I always reference that West Virginia team back in the day when his son was on it. His son was like the fourth or fifth best player, but. They had a kid by the name of Mike Gansey, Pitsnoggle, the tattooed three-point shooter. They were really good. What he's done in Michigan is next level. You know what? I'm gonna mix a little team up here. Now, I hope the Kings fans, and I hope Luke Walton doesn't take this the wrong way, but I would be even more intrigued if John Beilein was coaching the Kings.
Mm, yes, because of all the talent there.
With that talent, yeah, with that roster. There's a lot of good players there. You know, do we think Luke Walton's going to get the job done? He needs to start well. I don't mean 13-2.
Yeah.
You can't go 5-12. I mean, I guess theoretically you can, and you can somehow survive it and coach your way out of it. But I feel like they need, because they did, even though they didn't finish strong, this was a surge forward for the Kings, for their fans, for their players, for their organization, the direction. I think most ardent NBA fans know the Kings have some players. And if Luke Walton goes and he bombs the first month.
Yep.
Continuing the soap opera from the Lakers, he's got to end that narrative. He's got to get some wins early.
Yeah, I agree. Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, who made the all-rookie team. It's really young.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it's interesting because it seems like they have the potential to be like the Warriors. Not the Warriors, but like that Warriors team who's kind of organically built something that just exploded at some point. Now, is Luke Walton the guy to do that? That's what he's going to get the opportunity to prove.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes the wrong way, I mean, does that end his career? He's got to go to college then, right?
Well, let's listen. Here's what I'll say about that. If it goes sideways and Luke Walton gets another job in the NBA, then without proving himself maybe collegiately, as Tiki just pointed out, and then I think a lot of the complaints and a lot of the biases that we hear about the coaching and even and certainly GM and executive profile.
Yeah, I get what you're getting at.
At that point, it's like, okay, now this is just further underscoring that we have an issue here because he hasn't done a damn thing as a coach.
You're right. And D-Sale just brought up a very good point. It could go sideways before it even happens because of the sexual start charge. We're not dealing with right
That's
now,
true.
But who knows? I mean, it could become an issue for
you never
him.
Know.
Yep.
Rooting for Thibodeau, rooting for Ryan Saunders, Flip Saunders, such a good guy.
Yeah, he took over for Thibodeau midseason for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep. 33 years old.
That one I'm most lukewarm on.
I am too, but I'm really, at the end of the day, I don't really care what Luke Walton does. I don't care what Frank Vogel does. I'd really like to see Ryan Saunders be successful in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Flip Saunders was one of the great people in the NBA, not just from a coaching point of view. Everybody loved him. He was great. I would love to see his son keep that name going. They got some talent.
We'll make a judgment here in a second. Mm-hmm. We'll pick our best move here. Kokoskov might be the candidate in line.
Who's
for Kokoskov.
Oh, that's right, that guy. For the Suns, right?
Formerly of the Suns, for the Minnesota Memphis Grizzlies. He's been interviewed, as has the Jazz assistant Alex Jensen, mm-hmm. Jaren Collins, who is assistant with the Warriors right now, and then EuroLeague coach Sarunas
Marcellonis from the Warriors.
Jessica Vickius. Vickius? Mm-hmm. Jessica Vickius? Is that right?
Yes,
sounds right.
Jessica Kevishers.
Yes,
Kevishers. Yes, Kevishers.
He did? I do not remember him in Maryland.
How do you say that again? How do you say his name?
Yes, Kevishers.
Yes, Kevishers.
I'm noticing with some of these names, even ones that I like recognize, I'm not even saying them right.
Yeah, I agree.
They're hard. They're getting harder as you're getting older.
That's true.
You don't say them that much anymore.
Agreed. I'm still going with the Cavaliers.
I still can't say the guy who they're interviewing the first name that you said.
Kokoskov.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Make that O an A.
Kokoskov.
Yeah,
there you go. It's a good hint.
And then it makes it easy.
I have to change your name, buddy. Sorry.
Regardless of who
fit our needs.
Exactly. Regardless of who Memphis hires. I like the Cavs. I like John Beilein. I'm going to say that was the best one.
I would probably vote for... You know what?
You're going to go to Suns, aren't you?
I told you. I when the Monty Williams debate... Well, I don't know that it was raging, but when it was out there that he had really a chance to get the Lakers or the Suns job, you and I talked about that a lot. And I didn't know that he would take the Suns job, but I said that I thought he should.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be perfect for them. You know, he's gone through some real life stuff with his wife. Yeah. I think he's invigorated. You know, he had to cleanse his head. I think he's ready to get back down to work. He is immensely respected around the NBA. So I would say Monty Williams 1, and I would say Beilein 1A.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones I really scratch my head.
Me too. Me too.
All right. Let's get the update from Mac. Coming up, we've got the blast on a busy Tuesday. A little prediction on the game tonight. Raptors and the Bucks. We'll see if the Raptors can tie it up at 2. Here is Axe Update right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done. And this week, it's Ronald Acuna Jr., one of the future absolute superstars of Major League Baseball. Starting to hit stride after a little bit of a cold start. The Braves outfielder, 10 for his last 25. That's an even 400 with 3 bombs and 7 ribbies. 3 hits, a couple of home runs yesterday, and a 4-1 win over the Giants. So as Acuna goes right now, at least during the span, that's how the Braves are going. They are 5-1 in their last 6. And the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Just go to Granger.com. Now, Freddie Freeman always hits. He's a hitting machine. He's hitting about 320. But what's odd about the Braves here, before we get to the blast, and, you know, it's still early. You don't want to overreact to the baseball. It's not even Memorial Day yet. But they're 26-22, which is fine. And they're 2.5 behind the Phillies, which is fine. But their run differential's +9. I mean, that is, and that tells me you're winning some games you probably shouldn't win.
Yeah, games, exactly.
You know? And Donaldson's been, you and I love that signing, even though it was $23 million. He's not really doing a ton.
Well, he's been banged up.
He's always banged up. That's his history.
Yeah, but this year, I feel like he's been healthy. It's just the production. Maybe it's the rust. Who knows?
Also learning the National League, playing for the A's and the Blue Jays, so he's got to learn that.
Yep.
He's got 7 home runs. Not terrible, but he's not lighting it on fire. Swanson's, you know, kind of back to, hitting .240. Enciarte, who I always used to really like, good outfielder. He's only hitting .215 or so. You know, that's one of the teams, and I don't know if they actually have the money or the willingness or both to do it. And I do think the Yankees will make a run at Dallas Keuchel once the draft is over, so you have to give up that compensatory pick. If the Braves ever got their hands on Dallas Keuchel, I think that's one of the teams that could really use him. So we'll keep an eye. That's going to come to fruition here in a couple of weeks. The draft is a couple of weeks away, so... There you go. A little baseball time to blast, Teak. You ready for this?
Yep, let's go.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, first one's up. Tiki's team, Landon Collins, formerly of the Giants, says that the Giants let him go, as well as Odell Beckham Jr., for a culture change. How important is culture in an NFL locker room, T?
I think it's very important, especially when a guy like OBJ got away with murder for a lot of his early career. And some of this is on Tom Coughlin. Let's call it what it is. When he was young and impressionable and could have had discipline instilled, it was not. And as a result, it leaked into all the other things that were going on. It was like 2 years ago. Like 3 guys suspended had a bunch of
DRC
issues.
Right? Yeah, DRC was suspended.
Just odd.
Eli Apple was in fighting with Landon Collins.
Exactly.
What's going on?
That's culture. So it matters. So look, Landon Collins is right. It's not his fault. I think Landon's a good player.
So do I.
He just got caught up in the cleansing that the Giants necessarily had to go through.
Listen, I know Redskins fans are pumped up that they got Landon Collins, and I know that Landon's a good player, but he's really good when it's in front of him.
Yeah.
When it's behind him, and the stats bear this out, just go to PFF. You can find that he's actually really bad when the ball's in the air. So They gave him a lot of money. I didn't think he was quite the problem that it's been positioned. No. I like Landon Collins,
definitely
actually.
Wasn't a problem.
I thought he was a leader.
Yeah, it
actually.
was more about money. Giants had no money to sign him to what he needed, deserved to be signed to, as evidenced by his 6-year, $84 million deal.
Redskins are going to lament that. Even though he's a good player,
I think you're right.
He's not going to see 6 years on that team. There's no way. All right, the Pelicans, David Griffin, he's confident that they can convince Anthony Davis. This would be a big story. Not going to happen, but it would be big. To stay, what percentage do we put on AD staying in New Orleans? I'll give it 1%. I mean, I'll leave the door slightly ajar. It hasn't been deadbolted yet because he's still on the team technically here, but he wants out. His heart's, it's like a relationship. His heart's moved on. His mind's moved on. His body's yet to move on.
Yeah.
But eventually, it's going to move on. Knicks or Celtics, I think he's gone.
Look, I know that the Zion Williamson potential drafting is going to be interesting. It's going to make some people say, well, look, now you got two of the top whatever players in the NBA. I don't know where Zion's going to be immediately. But Anthony Davis wants to win. He's seen the other superstars leave and go to places where they can win or get very close to winning a championship. That's what he wants. And it's not happening in New Orleans, at least not for the next couple of years, even if he does stay. So I say, I'm going to say it's a little bit more than one. I'll say 10.
Okay.
Only because I like David Griffin a lot and think that he's really good.
I do too.
But it's a tall task.
You know, you say that he wants to win. He's starting to get to that point where he's got to win. Like,
yeah,
he's
right.
That next guy that we're like, okay, it is time for you to start winning some big games.
That's a great
man.
Point.
The Yankees or the Red Sox going to face off on turf for the first time ever.
In London.
Oh, God. In London here. Why is Major League Baseball allowing teams to play on turf?
Now, you could tell me why this is dangerous. I would assume it's because the ball is just lightning fast on turf. Accidents from, you know, the transition from dirt to grass is one thing. Dirt to AstroTurf is a different one. I don't know if this is like AstroTurf or if it's the field turf.
It's not to my knowledge, it's not the field turf. It's not quite like the vet.
Yeah.
It's maybe like two generations removed from the vet and two generations short of what we have now. It's not really good.
No.
I mean, put it that way.
It sounds dangerous,
well,
is what it sounds like to me.
Listen, I hate that they're playing in London. That I love London, but I hate this.
Stop.
Like, don't work me up over this. Show's almost over. I already lit this up when it came aboard. The problem is, like, but I'm not going to overreact to the turf aspect because, you know, it's bad for the knees if you play 81 home games.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They are the most welcomed. Now, if the seams, like where the dirt meets the turf, or if there's seams in the outfield, well, then we have a problem. But just, you know, having a hard ground ball hit at you, that's not a big deal.
Is it dirt infield or is it a? Is
no,
it
I think tur- it's just, I think I believe it's just dirt bases. I believe
just dirt infield.
No. Are you sure?
So just the grass.
Are you positive?
It says while the teams will play on turf, there will be a dirt. There will be dirt in the infield rather than just dirt patches around the base.
Okay. I stand corrected. That's even better.
Yeah, because when you look at it, it looks like it's just dirt around the bases. But at least from the shot, it looks like the left field or whatever that is.
Yeah, I was kind of reacting to that, too. By the way, what, 330 down the lines with small fences? Okay. Like a little pesky pole height fence. There we go. Of course, they got to have a Red Sox element.
It's soccer pitches, man. Come
please.
On.
Playing in London, waste my time. That's ridiculous. Carter Stewart, the number 8 overall pick for the Braves, mentioned the Braves before, in the 2018 draft, big-time pitcher, signs with Japan after failing to reach a deal with the Braves. Of course, he's a Boris guy. Is Boris good or bad for baseball? Well, he's good for this young man.
Good for Carter Stewart, that's for sure.
Because Carter Stewart ain't getting $7 million, which is what he's reportedly getting over in Japan, while the Braves have control of you, you know, for the first 6 or 7 years, whatever it equates. Now, we see the trend. If you actually are the real deal, they'll buy out a couple of years of arbitration. It's happening all the time. But I think this is interesting. Go put a few bucks in your pocket and
travel the world, see the world.
Yeah, you know, and veteran hitters up there, too, guys that know how to play, and it's a different pace and a different accountability in Japan, and you're going to have to really, you know, work to learn the language a bit. You better grow up quick, but you're getting paid either way, so
yeah,
it can't
look,
be the worst.
He's 19 years
decision.
Old, so it's a little bit odd. He's going to go live in Japan. I'm sure his parents will go with him or somebody, a chaperone, et cetera, will go with him. But he's going to go make a ton of money to play in Japan. Because he went to a junior college and as opposed to working out a contract with the Braves, he actually was eligible for the 2019 draft. He eschewed that to go over to Japan as Scott Boras wants to make him a lot of money, which I guess is what's his ultimately. It's up to the client. Mm-hmm. The client wanted to make money, and so he's going to go make $7 million,
make some money, and then my commission,
and see what happens, and then come back to the MLB. Hopefully, somebody. I don't know how does that work with his rights though.
I believe that you go back after a year. You retain the rights for a year, and then if you don't sign within that year, I believe that you could go back into the pool. Hmm. But now that he's out of college and he's actually a professional already in Japan, would you have to do a posting fee?
Yeah.
Which has actually been modified. Little nebulous. I don't want to just start throwing darts. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't believe they would retain his rights. And what he needs to do is sit down and watch a little Tom Selleck, Mr. Baseball
That's
from
right.
the 80s. That
right.
was a good baseball
that
movie.
Was a good, that
you
was.
Think that would be a cheese fest? That was, first of all, Tom Selleck looked like an authentic ball player.
I agree.
Had a sweet lefty swing.
That's because Tom Selleck is an athlete.
Exactly. Could still pick it at first right. base. He dated the manager's daughter, which was a little bit of an issue there. But they sat down, drank some sack sake, and hashed it out.
Young folks.
He started hitting bombs.
Young folks, go find Magnum P.I. He was the man.
He really, a Tom Selleck. He's great man. Blue Bloods.
Yeah, you're right.
We're still waiting for the CBS
That's
Blue
right.
Bloods. We actually thought a couple of years ago we were going to get the invitation.
That's right. Because I met him. Remember? Because I met him. The first,
exactly.
Our first year here. I think it was their first.
It was our first year.
Our first
I was
year.
A big fan of the show.
Yep.
I brought it up on the air. They're like season 7 now.
Yeah.
And it's ironic because as our profile's gotten bigger as a show, they've gotten less interested. But when they didn't even know the show, they said, yeah, maybe we'll put you on the show. Make any sense.
Sam, make that happen, Sam.
Yeah, Wahlberg's great. That's a good show. That's
like
had a
that
long
show
shelf
a
life. Put us on. All right. Providence head coach Ed Cooley stays put despite interviewing with the Wolverines. Is he making a mistake?
I'm going to say yes. Yes.
All right. We'll try to elaborate a little bit here. I'm all ears.
Well, Providence better than I do. But it's not necessary. It's not. It's nowhere near the profile of Michigan.
No, it's not. It's not near the profile.
I get his loyalty, but it's Michigan's Michigan.
But Michigan wasn't Michigan basketball wise before Beilein.
But it is now.
Amaker had a pop.
But it is now.
No, that's true. That's true. I think Ed Cooley is a great coach.
I do too.
Great.
And he would have. It would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah. I was tweeting about this last night. Ed Cooley, first of all, you go to the dance 5 straight years as he did this year. They didn't go. They lost a few players. They'll be back next year. At Providence, you're doing something right. He finds hidden gems. He coaches them up. He always gets tough-minded kids. They love him. The Dunkin' Donut Centers, I've been there 10 times. It's been popping for years with that guy. I'm actually happy he's staying put. He fits Providence and is good for the Big East. But that had to be pretty tempting.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty tempting.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Where's Kawhi's health? I mean, that's really the determining factor. If Kawhi's healthy, we'll give him a good chance to win tonight. If he's banged up, because sometimes this is a real athlete.
Yep.
You can get hurt. The adrenaline could get you through the game, and then you got to reboot, and it's not quite the same. Where do you think Kawhi is right now, health-wise?
Yeah, look, and the biggest thing to note here is that last game, double overtime, he played 52 minutes.
I know.
He's averaging like 44 minutes or so, which is, it's almost a full game anyways, and you do what you got to do in order to extend the series. But let's be real here. The reason that the Bucks were plagued in this game, and the reason they didn't win in regular time or overtime, Giannis was horrible.
A couple guys fouled out. Giannis had no points in overtime.
Giannis had 12 points on the game.
Didn't play well.
He did not play well. None of their starters got into the 20s. It was their bench. It was George Hill and Malcolm Brogdon who carried a lot of the slack from the starters. So for whatever reason, Giannis had a bad day.
And he wasn't great in game one. Brooke Lopez was the man who scored
great.
29 points.
He hasn't been good. They've defended him well.
Huh?
That's not going to last forever.
You sure about that? Giannis can't shoot. So they found the way to make his life tough. He's not a shooter.
He's potential MVP.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean he's a good shooter.
I agree. He doesn't have to be a good shooter. He's an athletic freak.
Okay, so then why did he only score 12 points the other night?
Don't know. But I can't say. I can't in good conscience
say. Who are you picking?
Giannis is only going to score 12 points for the rest of this season.
I'm not going to say that either, but who are you picking tonight?
I got the Bucks.
I got the Raptors.
Come on.
I got the Raptors.
You are the North.
I got the Raptors +3. I don't know if the Raptors are going to win. You know what? I actually think this thing goes deep. I'm going to take the Raptors tonight. Square things up at 2. Hopefully we get it. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.